Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Happy Sabbath. Open your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Revelation. Jesslyn read that passage. Want to just look at it again. Revelation 13, a very amazing piece of scripture. And it opens up the subject matter for today. The theme for this entire year is I serve. What is the theme?
I serve.
We're going to make that theme unforgettable to you this year. It has been my teaching, something I have taught and stressed to every congregation I have pastored from my earliest years, that the Christian life is based on four legs, like a chair, four legs. The first leg is prayer. What's the first leg?
Prayer.
The Christian sits, stands, supported, ever how you want to put it, by prayer. Isn't that true? Where would you be without prayer? Just to this end, we'll be sharing with you material at the end of the service. Little bulletin to help you outline 10 days of prayer for yourself starting January 7th through 17. Kind of a personal prayer exercise you can carry out for yourself because, well, we grew up saying it. Much prayer, much what?
Power.
Yes. We know that, don't we, Brother Williams?
Yes.
Much prayer, much power. The first leg of the Christian life is what?
Prayer.
Prayer. The second leg of the Christian life is Bible study. Please say that. Would you agree with me that the Christian, the strong Christian, must be strong in the Word? Would you agree with that?
Yes.
We aren't going anywhere without deep study of God's Word. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my what?
Pathway.
Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's in the Bible. These are texts we know. Because we are a people of the book. Somebody needs to say amen.
Amen.
So the first leg of the Christian is what? And the second is Bible study. Bible study. One of the great adventures, and I've shared this with you before, one of the great adventures that me and Sister Ryder have been having since April 17, 2012, we've been reading the Bible through Shemsol, one chapter a day. We just started now, the other day, our fourth year reading. By the time we get to General Conference, we'll be at the book of Revelation. We will have spent 4.5 years reading the Bible through chapter by chapter. Prayer, Bible study, two legs. The third leg is worship. Would you say that, please?
Worship.
Let's say all three now. Come on. First is?
Prayer.
Second is? Third is?
Worship.
Yeah. Worship. That's what we're doing now. We're worshiping the Lord. And of course, the blessing of worship is, I don't have to be in a formal church service to worship God. Now, do I?
No.
Hey, man, you can worship the Lord riding in your car.
Yes.
Come on, somebody.
Yes.
And you can worship the Lord in the kitchen while you're cooking your meal, huh?
Yes.
Worship the Lord. The church stands on worship and adoration, respect, magnifying, adoring the name of God, giving him glory for all that he is. And I don't care how much glory you give him, he deserves more. Okay, I see three. Let's see if we can name them. Number one is, number two is, number three is worship. Worship. Now, you know I didn't take all this time to lead you nowhere. You know I'm going somewhere. There's a fourth leg. That's the leg we're going to talk about all this year. The fourth leg, and I'm going to call it the broken leg of the church. It's called Christian service. Say it. Now, most Christians, oh, we'll pray. Oh, Frank, we'll pray in a heartbeat. Yes, sir. Things go wrong, get sick, no money. Lord, help me, we'll pray. Won't we pray? You know we'll pray. Some of us grew up with parents. You don't go to bed without saying, and some of us still say our prayers. Every night we feel guilty if we don't say our prayers. First thing in the morning, many of us pray, pray. And then we open the Bible. We study that word. Hard to find a Christian who does not study God's word. And we'll go to church. We'll worship. We'll worship. We will worship. But that fourth leg, Lord, help us. Christian service. Regular ministry for God in some ministry of the church, reaching outside myself for the mission of Christ. Christian service. What's the fourth leg? I need to hear somebody say it much louder. What's the fourth leg? Christian service. All right. Come on now. Let's say all four. Number one is? Number two is? Number three is? And number four is? Elder Ortega, it's Christian service. Busy, busy. Lay activities cease to be a nap after church service. But after church service, I go out on some mission and ministry. And we're going to help you this year. There are going to be Sabbaths where we come here. We don't stay in church all day. We're going to come, have a little prayer, sing a few songs, and then we're going to hit the streets for Jesus. That was a weak amen, so I'm going to help you out. Amen. Praise God. Can't wait. Some of you look at me funny right now. I ain't going to do that. You will see before this year is over, Dr. Breach, if you're not busy for God, you're not deep in God. Now, what does all that have to do with Revelation 13 and verse 8? Let's read it. And all that dwell upon the earth shall do what? Come on now. Shall do what? Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain for fellowship. Wait a minute. Of the Lamb slain from when? Well, I thought he died on the cross in Judea around AD 31. That's what I thought. But Pastor Daniels, I just read that he was slain from when? Come on, y'all. When was he killed? Before, the Bible's telling me, before, Pastor Wright, before the earth was formed, Jesus was slain. In other words, the Bible is saying there was a, listen, folk, the Savior is older than sin. You didn't follow that, because if you had, you'd have said amen. The Savior, we had a Savior before we had a sinner. Y'all are too calm for me. The Savior was ready and available just in case. Yes. Y'all can stay calm. I can't stay calm about that. That tells me that salvation is not a 911 plan. God anticipated my need of a Savior. So when the sin came, the Savior was standing there waiting to receive the sinner. That's why the Bible declares without apology in Genesis 3 and verse 8 that after they sinned, that they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. As soon as sin arrived, Jesus arrived. Hallelujah! So there was an assignment. There was an assignment that Jesus gave to himself before he gave us an assignment. Yeah. Look at 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9. Now we use our Bibles today in this sermon quite a bit, so get your Bible ready or your phone, whatever device you use, your iPad, whatever. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. Look. The Bible says, who hath saved us, talking about Jesus, and called us with a holy calling, my, not according to our works, but according to his own what? And grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. What's the next phrase? What does it say? Before what? Ha ha! Grace! Grace was available before grace was needed. Jesus was available as Savior before a Savior was needed. Why don't you say amen out there? This is the plan of God. He committed himself to Henry Wright before Henry Wright was even born. Now this is the heart of the gospel. We can talk about Sabbath and law and diet and all that kind of stuff, but so this is the heart of the gospel. This is the root of the gospel. This is the center. The good news is there's always been a Savior.
Amen.
Before sin had been committed, before one lie had been told, before one murder had been committed, before one war had been fought, there was a Savior waiting to intervene for the sake of mankind. And so in Genesis 3:15, the first gospel sermon, go there, Genesis 3:15, after Adam and Eve have sinned, Christ, talking to them in the garden, was able to say, I will put enmity, talking to the snake, between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's interesting to me, Shem. Because this is Jesus talking to Adam and Eve in the garden. They've sinned. Satan is there in the form of a snake. And so Jesus says in the snake's face, I'm going to get you one day. You're going to nip my heel, but I'm going to bust you on the head. Come on, somebody. Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He assigned himself. You know, there are a lot of folk, some of you work for people like this. You have bosses, and they give you assignments. They always give you the dirty jobs. Huh? Am I telling the truth? Yeah. The boss, he takes the high stuff. But he treats you like a peon. Anybody work? Don't raise your hand, because your boss may be sitting here. People like that, who just always, in fact, I had a long conversation yesterday morning with a friend of mine who's going through a terrible thing with their boss, and the boss has given them the rubbish to do, the small jobs to do, and then taking the credit. Who ever heard of the king becoming the servant? What kind of God do we serve that hands the dirty job to himself? Stoops to bless. Didn't send any angels. The angels move at his command. He could have said, Gabriel, AD 31, earth time, I want you down there on the cross. Get to it. Get yourself ready to die. No, not my Jesus. Not my Jesus. He said, this is not something an angel can do. I myself will take the worst assignment in the history of the universe. God will become man. This is the gospel. Look at Romans 8:29. Look at Romans 8:29. Oh my, 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 my. This is how Paul puts it in his book, Romans 8 and verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, let's walk in deep water just for a few minutes. So, Warfield, what this is saying to me is, now, I don't know how long God's been in existence, because he always has been. Let me try that on you again. I don't know how long he's been in existence, because he always has been. We're talking about a God who has no beginning. The text says he's predestinated. So that means as long as there's been God, there's been a plan for a Savior. I know my head hurts on that kind of stuff. My brain cannot absorb that, Tony. As long as God has been, there's been a Savior. He's always going to be a Savior. Which means when he made Adam, he knew Adam's children would put him on a cross. But he shaped the hands of man strong so they could hold a sword. He shaped the hands of man strong so one day they could hold a hammer. Come on, somebody. He shaped the mind of man clear so he could invent all kinds of cruelty. He did that knowing. How can you sit there knowing? Knowing. Better be glad. I'm not God. I'd have never made you. You'd have never gotten created. I'd have taken that thing and messed it up right there. That mud, I said, no, I ain't doing this. He made Adam perfect, made his mind sublime. The human race is a marvelous piece of work. Ellen G. White says that we are still living on the first bites that Adam took from the tree of life. She goes on to say, Temperance and Hygiene, page 7, that a lesser race would have died out a long time ago. But we were made in the image of God. In the image of God made he him, male and female, created he them and gave them dominion. And then said, when they become mess, I'll become mess. When they become dirty, I'll become dirty. When they become crazy, I'll take on that crazy flesh. When they become weak and untrustworthy, I will inherit their weakness and their untrustworthiness. And then I myself, nobody else, I'm going to assign myself. Well, why don't you send somebody else? Maybe the Holy Ghost will do it. No. I'm the creator. I made them. I'll save them. Now, my dad had a different concept on that. Used to tell me, I brought you in, I'll take you out. Jesus said, I brought you into existence. I will preserve your existence at the cross. Amen. The assignment. The assignment. Now, let's look at the nature of the assignment. Please, that famous text, Philippians 2. Tradition tells us that this particular passage was so special to the early Christians that they turned it into a hymn. They used to sing this in church, the words of Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you. Watch it now. Do you see it? Will you read it with me? Come on, let's read it together. Let this mind, everybody, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm giving it to put the hook in you. The theme this year is I serve. So Paul says, I want you to take on the same attitude that Jesus did. Well, what was Jesus' attitude? Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now get this, he's saying he was equal with God, so the Holy Ghost and the Father could not outvote Jesus and make him come. They're equal in power. So they couldn't gang up on him and say, well, you know, you got the assignment. You're going down there. No, they're so equal, they're so balanced, Sonia, that one of them had to step forward. And Jesus said, since I made him, I'll do that. Though he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, he now decides, what? Well, let's keep reading. Look at verse 7. We need to read verse 7 together. This is so precious. I need everybody helping me. But made himself of no reputation. Now let that be absorbed, please. Because we don't do that. We get caught up in reputation. I'm the boss, therefore. You are the employee, therefore. I'm the president, therefore. I'm the pastor, therefore. Christ said, I'm not going to ask you to do anything I wouldn't do. Now it's going to get close to you now. We said the Christian life is based on what? Talk to me now. Number one is? Number two is? Number three is? Number four is? Jesus is saying, how dare you resist Christian service when I, the God of the universe, stooped to serve? And don't brag about it. Don't tell me how many ministries you won. See, we work in the church and act like we deserve credit because we work in the church. I'm on 6 ministries. Who cares? No, really, folks, who cares? You ought to be privileged to be on 1 ministry, let alone 6. Ought not be any boasting. Why? Because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords took on humanity, took on no reputation. That is, he didn't get his name published in the bulletin because he raised $500. He didn't sit in church with his mouth stuck up because he worked all year and nobody honored him. No, no. He said, I don't need any credit. I don't need any praise. I'm just here to be a savior, whatever that takes. So as we stand up this year, and all of you are going to stand up, every last one of you, as we stand up and serve, we're not going to be looking for a pat on the back. Pastor Wright, I joined the ushers today. Just keep it to yourself. Just be an usher. I don't need to know anything about it. Because you're not doing it for me. Look at what he did. Verse 7, we didn't finish it. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him what? The form of a what, y'all?
I serve.
Took the form of what? Say it again. Took the form of what? God. Now this is God. This is not just anybody. This is not an angel. This is God. God being a servant. God with no place to sleep. God who owned no property. God who never had a car. God who only ate from other people's tables because he had no place to lay his head. All he had to do was just think hard. A mansion would have appeared. He could have sat at supper with the disciples every evening and said, let's have a banquet. The angels would have come. Are you listening to me? And yet in the wilderness, hungry as a dog after 40 days. The devil knew he could do it. Command command these stones be bread. Well, that's for a God? That's peanuts, y'all. Stones, bread? He makes planets out of nothing. Stones, bread? That don't even work him hard. He doesn't have to break a sweat. Just think bread, there's going to be bread. He would not do it because he's in a servant posture. And he knew that Henry couldn't do it. So since Henry can't make stones bread, I won't make stones bread. Why? I'm here to serve Henry. Is anybody listening to me? I'm talking about the assignment that Jesus gave himself. My boys were growing up, I used to have them work in the yard with me. Always gave them the menial assignments. One time Mike asked me, how come we always have to pull weeds? I said, weed pulling is your level. Dad cuts grass, you pull weeds. That's not the attitude of Jesus. Folks, that's not the attitude of Jesus. Somebody say amen out there. That's not the attitude of Jesus. In fact, he says, I'm going to do what Henry can't do and won't do. I'll do the dying on the cross so Henry can do the living in glory. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. Look at Luke 22, verse 37. Sometimes we just need to let the Bible talk. Luke 22, verse 37. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. This is Jesus now talking about his assignment. And he was reckoned among the what? Come on, y'all, among the what? His assignment, first of all, included becoming a servant. Secondly, he says, I will be treated like a crook. For Jesus to give himself that assignment? I keep asking you, folk, how come he didn't pass that off to somebody else? And you see, the thing about it is, he's so powerful, he could have passed it off to somebody else and made us think that was great. Because he can control our thoughts. Are you listening to me? He could have us thinking he was wonderful when he wasn't. He said, no, I'm going to put myself right out there where Henry can see me. I want Henry to see me hanging on the cross with two criminals. Yes. I'm not sending anybody but me. I want Henry to see me bleeding, see me hungry, see me left destitute by my friends. I want Henry to see it. Because when it's Henry's turn to serve, I don't want no stuff out of Henry's mouth about how busy he is, how tied up he is. I want Henry to jump up and serve. Lord called me to ministry. I said, Lord, I'm not doing that. Ministers don't make any money. I told Jesus that. They don't make no money. I had laid my plan out, folk. I was clear on my plan. I was going to be an engineer. Come on now. Be an engineer. Live well. Marry a pretty woman. I did one. That's it. When you take on servanthood, hey, listen to the pastor. When you take on servanthood, you don't say to the boss how far you're going to go. Where he sends me, I will go. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 8:9. 2 Corinthians 8:9. We're just trying to get a feel for the assignment. Took on the form of a servant, numbered with the crooks. And then 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9 says this. Here it is. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was what, y'all? Yet for our sakes he became what?
Poor.
That ye through his poverty might be rich. Now, I want you to note what Jesus is saying to you. See, folks, there's a lot of things in church that we boast about. We need to keep quiet. We're always talking about what we do for the Lord. And we talk about it around people so people can hear us. Last year, at Tacoma Park, I was so-and-so and so-and-so. I sang in the choir. I was an usher. I was a deaconess. I served it. And then, child, you know what I did around Christmas time? I gave the Lord $2,000. Gave it, $2,000. And we wait for somebody to say, "Ooh, child, aren't you something?" Now, be honest, y'all. You know we are. Because if nobody said, "You know, I did all that," nobody even thanked me. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Not blessed are those that boast. Not blessed are those who have a list of their deeds. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who bear. Blessed are those who pray like the publican. "I won't even lift my eyes to heaven, beating upon my breast. Oh Lord, I'm unworthy to call your name." Until we get that attitude, we cannot be servants. As long as we're using the church to get personal glory. And I get excited when I think about the kind of servants this church is going to become. Folks just working for the Lord, nobody asking for credit. Nobody asking for the name to be called. Just so busy being busy for Jesus, we don't have time to make a list of how busy we've been. We're going to get there. We're going to be that way. Satan won't be able to stand us. Well, Isaiah 53 and verse 9. "And he made his grave with the," what do you see? Huh? Come on now. "And with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth." Didn't commit a sin, yet died the death of the wicked. Is that service or what? Absorb it. These are the kind of texts you need to take to your bedroom at night before you go to sleep and read these texts and ask the Lord to help you feel what the Bible is saying. A perfect man died the death of the wicked. So how did he do it? Well, Luke 1:31 is clear. He went through the womb. He went through the womb. You know, the first thing they do, and this has been going on for centuries, the first thing they do when a baby comes out is hit him. Bam! God, holding God upside down. Bam! And God cried. Come on, y'all. God couldn't even hold his head up. God had to be changed. God messed on himself. Come on, y'all! God. Inside of a woman's womb. Made wombs. He invented pregnancy. He created sperm. God. God. Having to be carried, protected, having to be fed. You know, a human baby is pitiful. They can't do nothing but cry, God! He didn't cheat. And he didn't wait to be born when everything was sanitized. And nurses walked around with stuff on their face. And things were scrubbed. He did not wait till then. He was born when there was not a hospital in sight and sanitation had not been invented. His first bed was hay. The atmosphere was filled with the germs of donkeys and cattle. God! How you gonna tell him you too busy? How you gonna tell God, well, I don't have any time. See, Pastor, I come to church, I attend, I return my tithe. Number one, it ain't yours. And then we look for the ministries that are most convenient for us. I mean, how dare we choose some ministry that might cause us to be inconvenienced? I can't be a part of that ministry. See, they meet now. See, I work. We always know when we work for ourselves. We have those eyes all clear. And we squeeze God in. The assignment Jesus gave himself. The Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. And why did he do this? Well, Romans 5. You should have known at some point I would read this text. Romans 5 and verse 8. Why did he do this? See it on the screen? Come on, y'all. Let's read this thing together. Everybody. But God, I need your help now. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet, what did Christ do? The Greek says, while we were his enemies. So in other words, stay with me now because I'm almost finished. Not only, did the Savior commit himself to be Savior before there was a sinner. But he said, I'm going to do it knowing that most of them will never thank me. When they become my enemies, that's when I'm going to die. And in that process, I will present to them my love. Would somebody please say amen? I'll show them my love. So let's quickly review. The assignment, part one. It's the assignment that Jesus gave to himself. Nobody forced him. It's the assignment that stripped him of all power, glory, and control. It's the assignment that nobody else could even fulfill, as dirty as it was. And last but not least, it's the assignment that has scarred him for eternity. Because after we serve, after we give of ourselves, I haven't read my Bible. After we have been faithful, after we have worked for the sick and worked for the poor and worked for the needy, after we have been involved in ministries, after that, God says, here's what I'm going to do for Henry. His corruption shall put on incorruption. His mortality shall be swallowed up in immortality, and his body won't have a mark on it. But I have assigned myself to be scarred for eternity, holes in my hands, a pierced side, and marks on my brow forever. Forever. That's my assignment, to be a Savior forever. You ain't never gonna serve like he served. You ain't never gonna be in his category. Don't even think it. But if you're going to heaven, your life must be based on four legs. What's the first one? What's the second one? What's the third one? What's the last one? Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads in prayer. No, I don't think that's good enough. Let's all kneel. Lord, if we laid flat on our faces, we'd still be too high. We're nothing. The refuse of the universe. It's only on this planet that we kill and steal, that we lie and murder. It's only on this planet and all the universe that there is greed and malice, envy and hatred. It's only on this planet that we rape, that we fight, that we are jealous. It's only on this planet that we drug our bodies and dim our wits with alcohol and stain our lungs with tobacco. It's only on this planet. So if we were flat on our face right now, we'd still be too high. We wouldn't be low enough. And yet for us, you took the assignment. Lord, I cannot. I keep trying. 50 years of preaching, I can't quite yet say it like it needs to be said. I can't preach it like it ought to be preached because it's just too deep for me, what you did. God? A servant? There's no illustration. If I said it was like an elephant becoming an ant, that would not cover what you did. If I said it was like Mount Everest becoming a pebble, that would not embrace what you did when God became man. So it's beyond me. What I do know is that having been so served by God, surely I can serve my God and my fellow man. So on this first Sabbath of the year, we have cut ourselves in half. We're on our knees to give thanks to the everlasting Father and to our friend the Holy Spirit for assisting you, dear Jesus, in your commitment. We give thanks. Somewhere, as we contemplate the assignment that you took, may my heart and the selfishness and the self-gratification and the self-exaltation and the self-centeredness, may it be cleansed from me. Forgive us. Forgive us. Always putting me first. And now for those precious ones in this room who are serving in the church faithfully, increase their humility, that they serve not for the adoration of mankind or the approbation thereof. For those in this congregation right now, still standing on the fringes, they come to church faithful, Read the Bible. Faithful. Know their lesson every Sabbath. Faithful. They talk to you daily. But they have not yet accepted the full inconvenience of consistent service to the mission of Christ. Move upon them. For you know, Lord, in the days ahead, me and the pastors have agreed that starting the first Sabbath of February, we're going to start giving people a chance to sign up for service. We'll preach to them this month, but in February, people must move into action. Touch our hearts. May we have no sense of pride. May we just be willing to serve. Now, while you're on your knees, if you would ask with me, the Holy Spirit, to fill your heart with the spirit of service, would you just raise your hand while you're on your knees? My eyes are closed. I'm not looking to see whose hand is up or hand is down. If you want the Holy Spirit to fill your heart with the spirit of service, please raise your hand. Raise it high. That you might receive your assignment. Your hands are down. Thank you, Lord, that you would trust me, inconsistent, self-willed me, with the opportunity for service. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And thank you for the Savior. In Jesus' name, and all the people said, please rise.